You're listening to KNX In Depth. I'm Mike Simpson, along with Charles Feldman.
The Stonewall Inn on June 28th of 1969 marks one of the first times that gays fought back against institutionalized abuse and harassment. And while it helped to ignite an equal rights movement, it by no means meant that the harassment and criticisms of gay Americans stopped. Far from it. It would take 46 more years until 2015, when gay marriage was considered legal in the eyes of U.S. law.
So Stonewall was really just the start. Shannon Minter, legal director for the National Center for Lesbian Rights, lead counsel for same-sex couples in the landmark California marriage equality case. So how are we doing 50 years since Stonewall, 4 years since gay marriage?
Well, hey, guys. Obviously, we made incredible progress. I mean, to go from a world in which LGBT people were literally outlaws and were in a position to have to fight back with beer bottles against police raids to a world in which same-sex couples can legally marry and have the same family rights and maybe even more importantly are just seen by the rest of the country not as sexual outlaws but as, stable couples building stable families and having children. That is quite a change.
A change, still controversial. So let me draw a parallel with something else that's controversial clearly in this country, which is abortion rights. And there's, as you know, the pendulum kind of swings back and forth on that one. And states have systematically gone about since Roe v. Wade trying to, in one way or another, diminish the right to abortion. Do you have any concern that there may be a further change in attitude toward gay marriage, same-sex couples, and at some point in the not-too-distant future, people will turn against it?
No, I don't think we're going to see anything like the swings and the just recurring, relentless backlash that we've seen around reproductive freedom. That said, I think it would be a terrible mistake for our community to become too complacent. I mean, we are in the middle of one of those periods of severe setbacks. I mean, it's happened to us before. You know, right in the aftermath of the Stonewall riots, there was this unprecedented period of organizing, and we won, like, amazing victories. You know, we got rid of sodomy laws. Homosexuality was declassified as a mental illness. We began to pass anti-discrimination protections. But then in the 70s in particular were just an incredible period both for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. But then the 80s, we saw some very serious setbacks and losses through the period of the 80s. And in some ways, we're still playing catch-up from that time. And so, and obviously, our community is in the sights of the Trump administration in a way I have never experienced in my lifetime. And it is quite scary. So I don't think we should take public support for granted. That said, I don't think we'll see the kind of slippage that we have seen with reproductive rights.
If you don't think the overall rights are imperiled, or whatever phrase you want to use, under this administration, gay, lesbian rights, what about trans rights? If something ebbs and flows, is it in that area?
I think that is our most vulnerable area. That, and I would say healthcare more broadly. I mean, I think the single most important bit of progress we made under President Obama, particularly for transgender people, was just the absolute revolutionary sea change in access to healthcare. The Affordable Care Act, with its express prohibition of discrimination against transgender people in healthcare, I mean, it literally changed the world for transgender people. I mean, we went within a period of just a few short years from being a country in which the vast majority of transgender people had insurance policies and plans, whether they were public, public benefits plans or private health insurance, that completely excluded all transition-related care, to today, where it's just the complete opposite. Almost every single private health insurance plan and most public benefits programs now cover transition-related care. And that is on the chopping block, you guys. That the Trump administration is, as we speak, undoing that. And that is the most serious existential threat to the well-being of transgender people happening right now.
The progress that has been made, though, over the past 50 years, could it have been done without the Stonewall riots? Would something else have just come along that would have ignited that movement? Or was there something, do you think, particularly special about that place, that time?
A little of both, you know. I mean, those riots themselves didn't come out of nowhere. I mean, there had been years of much quieter organizing going on before then by the so-called homophile movement, which was a considerably more kind of staid middle-class enterprise, and that tended to accept the view that homosexuality was a mental illness, but was sort of pleading for some dignity and respect. But that homophile movement did get some visibility. It was covered in the press. And then I think you have to take into account just the general ferment of the 1960s, and particularly the late 1960s. I mean, 1968 was a revolutionary year that reverberated all across the world, where people were rising up and questioning authority in all kinds of different ways. So I think it's kind of the combination of prior organizing and just the explosive possibility of the moment in the late 60s.
Shannon Minter, Legal Director, National Center for Lesbian Rights, lead counsel for same-sex couples in the landmark California marriage equality case.
So again, 50 years to the date of the so-called Stonewall Inn riots in New York City. And, you know, Mike, one of the things that's really interesting, especially to people who are not old enough to have remembered those events, that in those days in New York City, gay bars were all mob-owned and operated because they didn't have licenses to sell liquor.
Yeah.
Right, they didn't have licenses at all. And that was the ostensible reason for the police raiding Stonewall Inn on that particular night. Of course, there were all these undercurrents,
right,
because it was widely known that was a gay bar.
I remember thinking back to when we were talking to Carla, and she said, you know, the sign up in the window, she said, cooperate.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. Stay peaceful. She's like, nope, that ship has sailed. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's about time we do something around here. This has been KNX In Depth. A couple of thank yous. The people who bring you the show, our producer, Jonathan Service, news editors, Debbie Reichs, Greg Habel, production coordinators, Matt Park, Kim Quitson, Sergio Alexander, Mike and Charles. And a reminder, if you missed any of the show, the podcast.
The podcast. Oh, yes. Don't forget that. It's
on
free.
The radio.com app, the KNX website, iTunes.
Right.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen anytime you want.
And we will be back on Monday. CBS News is next.